We're going to carry on our new series on introducing Jesus, which is based on Mark's Gospel. This isn't a series where we're going to go through the whole of Mark's Gospel, but what we are going to do is look at the ways that Mark introduces Jesus to us and look at his emphasis and that type of thing. As I said to you last week, we believe that Mark's Gospel was the first one ever committed to paper, and that... Or maybe I should say to papyrus, to scroll. And that happened probably round about AD 66, 67, somewhere around that. Sometime before AD 70 anyway. And that we believe the inspiration for doing it was the death of Peter. Because Peter had been the leader of Mark's missionary troop. And Mark had accompanied him, and Mark got his insight about Jesus directly from Peter. Although there is also a suggestion that Mark may have actually followed Jesus all the way through his ministry, because Mark is the only gospel that talks about a young man who ran away naked. And people have often suggested that this might be Mark mentioning himself. We've no way of corroborating that, but you'll often hear preachers mention this and say this was Mark. Well, we don't know for certain, but I think it's a fairly good concept. But Paul led this great missionary outreach over Europe. James led the church in Jerusalem, but Peter was seen as a great leader in the church, even from the day of Pentecost onwards. And Mark was, if you like, writing with Peter's insight. And so this gospel became the basic message of the gospel to the next generation of people who had not themselves ever met Jesus. So we've said this is written in the bios format, that style, that genre of Greek literature that we call biography. And it's there to introduce Jesus to us. And so today we're going to continue looking at how Mark introduces Jesus to us. I've entitled this message this morning, Beloved Son. And that, of course, is very relevant to the part of Mark's Gospel that Mary read to us. And My first point today is son. So last week we talked about how Mark firstly wants to introduce Jesus to us as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and that is a very key factor. But it isn't the only factor, because Mark also wants to introduce us to Jesus as the Son of God. In fact, the very first verse says, the beginning of the gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This book then gives us good news about Jesus, but not just any Jesus, because it was a common name in those days, but Jesus, the Son of God. How many times do we read in the scriptures that so-and-so was the son of? In Mark's gospel, you've got in chapter 1, John and James were sons of Zebedee. In chapter 2, you've got Levi was the son of Alphaeus. In chapter 3, you've got James, the son of Alphaeus. In chapter 10, we've got Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. We have got all of these characters introduced to us by their family lineage. All of these designations gave the person in the account their clear identity. They inherited all they had from the person they were the son of. There were many Jameses, many Johns, many Levis, many Jesuses in those days. And we know there were, because we have historical documents which validate these names as occurring rapidly and often. And we know that Jesus was one of the top five or six names in that generation. because it pops up everywhere. John was another one of the very, very popular names in that generation. And so it's important to say that John was the son of Zebedee. And it's also important to say that Jesus was the Son of God. Not only does the Bible use son of as an identifier, but also the dark spiritual forces use it because the demonic hordes are revealed to recognize Jesus as being Son of God. Mark chapter 3 verse 11, wherever the unclean spirits saw him, those possessed fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God!" Mark 5 verse 7, and he cried out with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The truth is that Jesus was recognized amongst his disciples as the Son of God. He was recognized amongst his followers as the Son of God. He was even recognized amongst demon spirits as the Son of God. But the most important recognition was that God recognized him. And when Jesus is baptized, we know that Mark records that a voice was heard from heaven. A voice was heard from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. I take delight in you." It's very strange, I think, for us to consider God taking delight in a particular person. But this person was unique. It was his son. I think God does take delight in his church. But here, Jesus is introduced to us as one who has a relationship with God, who is God's beloved son, and carries all the trappings that you would expect the Son of God to have. Jesus is introduced as the Son of God. The second point is that Jesus is introduced to us by Mark as being divine. By calling Jesus the Son of God, this identifies him as having a divine nature. Jesus is part of the Trinity. The early church called the Trinity, or developed the concept of the Trinity. And they used to talk about perichoresis, which is a very difficult word to remember and even more difficult to spell. But it describes the dance of the Trinity. And on the screen there, you've got these three intersecting ovals, I suppose they are. And they are historically used by the church to describe the dance that took place between Father, Son, and Spirit. Just as when you are dancing, not that I know anything about dancing, my wife will tell you that, but one leads the dance and the other follows. And the doctrine of the Trinity, way back in the early church, certainly by the second century, if not by the first, was that the Father led the Son in the dance. The Son led the Spirit. The Spirit led the Father. And that they were constantly changing who led the dance. And that is the level of interaction between the three, that they are dancing together, they are leading, they are sharing the lead, they are all having their input into the will of God. And so Mark is introducing us to this idea that Jesus has a divine nature. And that is a very important factor that we should remember, that Jesus was a man, but he wasn't just a man. He was Son of God. He was divine. His nature was different to ours. And if you like, he was this hybrid, God and man together. My third point today is kingly. Now, if you look up every occurrence of the phrase son of in Mark's gospel, you will find another designation for Jesus that Mark gives, which is son of David. Mark chapter 10, you will see verse 47, when he heard it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, Have mercy on me, Son of David. And then Jesus engages with the Pharisees on one occasion, and he asks the question, as he taught in the temple complex, How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself says by the Holy Spirit, The Lord declared to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How then can the Messiah be his son? And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. You know, David, historically, was the greatest king of Israel. David's son Solomon, along with David together, shared this greatest kingdom that Israel had ever had. The size of Israel was greatest during the reigns of David and Solomon. That was when their influence reached across that part of the known world. They were a marvelous kingship. They led so many people. They placed garrisons in capital cities of other countries. And at the time when Jesus was on the earth, the people of Israel were pining for the days of David and Solomon. And you can read in the scriptures and also in other non-canonical books that the people of Israel were desperate for the return of the days in which they dominated the political and the world scene at that time, or that they'd had at the times of David and Solomon. And so, as you have this scripture that Jesus quotes in Mark 12 that refers to the son of David and was a passage which they had taught in those days was referring to the coming Messiah. And Jesus is sort of trying to mix them up a little bit to help them think about it. And he's saying, hang on a minute, you say he's the son of David, but David calls him Lord. How can David call his son Lord? And of course, that is not a joke, it's a reality. It's David will call Jesus Lord, and prophetically David was calling Jesus Lord. But in a day in which Herods led Israel as puppet kings under the Roman governors, and the real power was with the Roman governor, it was the hope of Israel that the son of David would come, that Messiah would come, but particularly the son of David. And the son of David would be a true king, not one of these Herod people. And this is the Jesus that Mark introduces us to. He's introducing us to a Jesus who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, a Jesus who is the son of God, a Jesus who is divine in his nature, and a Jesus who is kingly, who is the son of David, son of the greatest king in history. And by making him son of a king, he is by inference a king himself. Jesus, of course, is King of Kings. My last point today is Son of Man. On the screen, those of you who are in the know will know that this is a surrealist painting painted in 1964 by Belgian René Magritte. Well, I probably pronounced that badly because I am a Philistine when it comes to the arts. But this is a painting that's very well known. You see it in a lot of places. You also see it in a lot of memes where it's changed. Sometimes the apple is changed to a red apple. Sometimes the apple is removed and there's something hilarious behind it. But this picture was a self-portrait of the artist, but it became known as Son of Man. And if you saw it in whichever great place it's displayed now, it would say on the sign underneath, Son of Man, René Magritte. This is not such a weird photo or picture to show you, because Son of Man is the name that Jesus seems to prefer for himself. And in chapter 1 and verse 14, it's 14 times in the book of Mark does Jesus refer to himself as Son of Man. 14 times. That's a lot of times, actually. You know, there's only 16 chapters in Mark, and 14 times Jesus calls himself Son of Man. Why does Jesus call himself Son of Man when Mark has gone out of his way to tell us that he's the Son of God? Well, in a sense, this is yet another week in which I'm going to use the word hyperbole to you. It's using direct opposites to indicate the difference or the contrast. But here, Jesus is trying to stress that he has taken on the nature of being that is unnatural for him. It's natural, or shall we say supernatural, for Jesus to be the Son of God, because he is. He is always being the Son of God. He has always been God from the beginning. But to become Son of Man, that is a hard job. For the eternal, immortal God to be born into a human body through a virgin's womb, that's a hard job. That's a huge effort. For God to inject himself into the line of man, interestingly enough, into the line of David, as having direct succession from David, this is a drastic injection of the power of God into the life of man. This is God turning up with an answer. This is God fulfilling Genesis chapter 3, that the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. How can that happen? Unless God becomes man and that seed has the power and the authority to bruise Satan's head. Mark shows us Jesus as Son of God. He also shows us Jesus as Son of Man. Twin natures in one body, divine and yet human. And we see Jesus tired. We see Jesus under all types of pressure and stress. But we also see Jesus conquering all of them, and particularly conquering sin and the devil. And that is our Son of Man. He is not like anyone else. He isn't. There is no one else like Jesus. Please don't ever believe anyone who makes out to you that they are Jesus or they are like him, because there is only one Jesus. And when he comes back, every eye will see him and we will meet him in the clouds. Don't get confused about people who claim to be Christs, because the Bible tells us there will be many. And history, recent history, tells us of many people who have been deluded and deceived into believing that of a person. But our Jesus is the Son of Man. He came in through the gate. He didn't climb over the wall. He became man legitimately by being born of a woman. And that tells us the love of God expressed to man, that he was prepared to become like us. This is an amazing, amazing thing. You know, every Christmas, I'll just sit down for a whole afternoon and just ponder what new thing I can get out of the incarnation of Jesus. Because it's absolutely amazing to comprehend, and blessed we are that Jesus became flesh and moved into our neighbourhood. But how dramatically powerful it was that God did this for us. The other Son of Man issue is that Mark is the gospel writer who identifies Jesus as the Son of Mary. Mark chapter 6 verse 3, the people are saying, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon?" And of course, that does rather tell us that at this time Joseph was dead, because otherwise wouldn't they have said he is the son of Joseph? But they refer to him as the son of Mary. So Jesus was son, the beloved son of God, divine, kingly, and he was also the son of man. So what can we say in summary of all of this? Well, Mark is trying to reveal the Jesus he knew to us. He's trying to reveal the Jesus that Peter had become so close to us. And he is telling us what he wants us to understand and what Peter would have wanted us to understand. And also, because Mark was a man of God, he is telling us what the Holy Spirit wanted us to understand. Jesus had no problem knowing who he was. But we do need to be reminded from time to time of all of these things. The Father trusted the Son and handed all things over to him. We can trust him too. He was the king by natural descent, and yet he chose not to wield that power, but he wanted to become king of our hearts. He is God and man, a unique hybrid. A much better definition of hybrid than a Toyota Prius. He came that he might know death, that he might set us free from the power of it and the fear of it. Let's pray. Father, today as we consider all that Mark is revealing to us about Jesus, Lord, we want to walk with Jesus more closely. We want to know him more dearly. And day by day, Lord Jesus, we want you to manifest yourselves in us. We want an incarnational sort of experience where people meet you through us. Help us always to prepare our hearts. Help us always to be ready for your Spirit to work in us, revealing Jesus. And of all things and above all things, help us daily to submit to you as King, as Son of God, as Son of Man, as the Divine One. Help us to recognize you in all that we do and to serve you always. In Jesus' name, amen.